Good morning. John Mackey here, Master Credit Solutions, Give Me Credit Media, and U.S. Credit Project. This is your credit news for today, May 5th, 2015. Well, here's a new one. The IRS seized $107,000 from this business owner for making too many small cash deposits. If you deposit more than $10,000 in cash, your bank is required to fill a form with the authorities reporting the transaction. But the law also makes it illegal to structure deposits, that is, depositing cash in amounts under $10,000, to avoid triggering the reporting requirement. But the aggressive enforcement of these laws can ensnare small business owners whose only crime is dealing in cash. Lyndon McClellan, a convenience store owner in rural North Carolina, who had $107,702 that was seized by the IRS. The agency hasn't charged McClellan with any crime, but the burden of proof is on him to prove he didn't violate the structuring laws. A caller demanded on April 27th that a Newtown woman pay $112,800 to a collection agency, according to Newtown Township Police. The agency said that the debt was from a cash advance the woman had allegedly received 4 years ago, in 2011, when the resident told the caller she had never received a $112,800 cash advance. The agency hung up. A Miami police officer admitted he intentionally fabricated four police reports to help a so-called credit doctor named Vanessa Perez pull off a scam, according to federal court records. In a deal kept secret from the public, 15-year Miami Police Department veteran Lazaro Fernandez pleaded guilty in federal court in September to fraud for his role in the scam. Federal officials said this scam involved numerous police officers from multiple departments in Miami-Dade accepting cash, bribes, and other favors from Perez. A second officer, Miami-Dade Police Officer Rafael Duran, has pleaded not guilty to a fraud charge related to the case that involves a total of 130 bogus police reports generated by dirty cops, according to federal court papers. Fernandez admitted to writing four false reports for Perez, but claimed he took no money in the scheme and did it to help Perez. Good credit is synonymous with opportunity. It allows you to greater access to things like apartments, auto loans, mortgages, not to mention more affordable interest rates and credit products. Unfortunately, the majority of U.S. consumers have what's called a subprime credit score, meaning their credit history makes it difficult or impossible to get services or receive low interest rates on financing. In fact, only in 13 states do the majority of consumers have near-prime, prime, or super-prime credit, according to TransUnion. Here are those states. Number 13, Connecticut. Number 12, New Hampshire. Number 11, Washington. Number 10, Wisconsin. Number 9, Montana. Anybody see a trend here? Number 8, Massachusetts. Number 7, Hawaii. Number 6, Nebraska. Number 5, Iowa. Number 4, Vermont. Number 3, South Dakota. Number 2, Minnesota. And number 1, North Dakota. Now, payment history and debt amount are two of the most influential factors that determine credit scores, which is why they included some related data in these state rankings. Keep in mind that the debt amount factor includes how much of your available credit you use, not just how high your balances are. Even if you have little debt, if you have little available credit on your credit cards, your credit scores suffer. The following is an opinion. It's an opinion of mine, and I stand behind it. During my news broadcast a couple of weeks ago, I spoke of a North Carolina senator named Michael Lee, who was sponsoring a bill, Senate Bill 511, out of North Carolina, that was entitled Proof Required for Debt/Fees. Its efforts are to roll back the requirement the bad debt buyer or the debt collector must have detailed information about where and when the debt originated and details on how the fees were calculated before suing the consumer. Now, I believe this guy to be an idiot, and I hope I'm not holding back on that. Here are some things to consider. Lee, the sponsor of the bill, is listed as an attorney on his North Carolina General Assembly page. But maybe there's another reason. Maybe there's another clue what might be driving this. The website for Michael Lee, the attorney, says, and I quote here, "The firm focuses on debt acquisition. He is a debt collector." Then there is a Senator Harry Brown from North Carolina, and he's quoted as saying, "I think the intent of this bill is to find a balance between where we are today and maybe where we were before 2009. I think the key point of this is debt that someone has gone out and decided not to pay." Another clueless idiot. This whole issue is not about paying a valid debt. It is an issue about the debt that is being collected or sued over is in fact a valid debt. And that this company or the companies that have the debt are authorized to collect on it. Simply asking that the bad debt buyer, the debt collector, have the proof the debt is really owed to them. FDCPA lawsuits still rising in early part of 2015 as TCPA claims decline. Over the first quarter of 2015, the number of lawsuits filed by consumers claiming violations of the FDCPA or the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act is up compared to the same period in 2014, a reversal of a 3-year trend in those types of actions. In March 2015, FDCPA lawsuits filed in federal court increased 3.2% compared to March of 2014, according to data provided by Web Recon. Over the first 3 months of the year, FDCPA lawsuits are up nearly 12% from the first quarter of 2014. It marks a sharp reversal in FDCPA suits filing trends that began 3 years ago. Thank you for listening. This is John Mackey, Master Credit Solutions and Give Me Credit Media. That was the news.